So we actually will be joined by a guest for the first time ever. We'll bring him on here in a bit. But first, me and Brian have been workshopping a couple ideas, you know, a little intro routine we've been thinking of. So our last stream, we didn't get around to going over all the places we've wanted to go herping, but didn't make the top 10 list. So we decided, you know, every episode we'll do a little rock, paper, scissors. Whoever gets it gets to go over one of their cut places. So
we're going to see how well this translates over a video call.
All right. So we'll just do out of one. No need to do best out of three. So.
All right. One, two, three.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, somehow I knew you were going to do rock. Somehow I knew.
And you still chose scissors?
Yes. Okay. Does that mean I go or you go?
I guess I go.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Next week will be you then.
Yeah. That's fine.
All right. For me, I'm going to go. There's so many choices to go here. But here's one that I really should have chose. Really should have thought of and put on the top 10, but I didn't. Just slipped my mind until too late. But that would be Madagascar.
Oh, that is a good one. That's a sneaky one because you don't really, it's kind of under the radar.
Yeah. That's, it's just got all sorts of crazy herps in there, all sorts of boas. Their rear fangs are pretty cool, like Madagascan hognoses. Freaking cool snake. And right. Of course, chameleons and geckos. Who could forget those? Those are some of the most iconic Madagascan herps. They have all the different broad variety of day geckos. They have all those Europlatus, leaf-tailed geckos or satanic leaf-tailed geckos.
Yeah.
And they do have Nilotocus. They do have Nile Crocs there as well. But on top of that, you also get a bunch. Oh, radiated tortoises. How can I forget about radiated tortoises? Arguably one
plowshare,
of the most,
right? Too plowshare.
Oh yeah, plowshare too. Though
a lot of and stuff.
Both of those very endangered, and we haven't even touched on the amphibians. I'm even that familiar with their amphibians, honestly.
No, not at all.
So.
No, and, I mean that is a hidden gem. I mean it is the land of what, lemurs and chameleons. So that's a great choice. And I mean that there's that one national park, I can't pronounce it, but I mean. Oh, dude, you find, what, hog noses and Sanzinia. Who wouldn't want to see Sanzinia?
Yeah.
That's probably arguably one of my favorite boa species besides, what is it, Echinotrophus. Is that right? The Madagascan ground boa? Not Dumerols, but the other one.
I'm blanking on that as well, but I know what you're talking about.
But, like, it's, like, really orange, very, very blush. Like, they're really not that common in our hobby in the U.S., but... They're underrated.
Yeah. So that's my first one on that list. So next time we'll get to one of yours.
Solid choice.
All right. And well, may as well bring the
housewarming we need to do. I mean, our herps, like under our care, I mean, I have really nothing. I only have one. She's doing fine and in her pseudo-brumation. She hasn't lost any conditioning. It's still cold here. I guess we could go over, you know, us being Midwest boys. This was our coldest week.
Yeah.
Of the year.
It was frigid.
Yeah, I mean, Monday and Tuesday, I mean, the mornings were well, you know, below minus 10. So we got chilled, and obviously our herps felt it a little bit.
Yeah.
In retrospect.
Yeah, they definitely were feeling kind of drowsy today. Well, not today, this week, but.
Oh, it was warmer today. It's going up and up. We should be in the 30s by tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
We'll see how it goes with them.
We'll see how it goes. You never know. It's pretty unpredictable here in the Midwest. You know, we got a month and a half till spring, supposedly.
Yeah. So. We'll see.
But, I mean, besides that, we can just, I haven't chatted with our guests, so I don't know. What's the scoop on him?
Yeah, I'll see if it might be a little bit of a delay. I don't know exactly. Like I said, I had some text problems. I had my phone got lost. Well, not got lost. It got water damaged and went dead. So I lost the email address Brian sent me. So I'm just going to.
We want to jerry rig it. We'll jerry rig this episode.
Yeah. Oh.
But yeah, we do the guests. You know, our main topic will be on a little bit of Ohio Herps and a little bit of Florida Herps.
Yeah. Speaking of which.
Hey. Hello. Hey.
How's it going?
What's up,
good, how about you?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Great, cold? Man. Yes, dude. We were just talking about it. I mean, the coldest week, right?
It's crazy. I actually went out to a frozen lake today and walked across it. It was wild. Coldest we've had here in so long.
Yeah.
It's been a hot minute since it's cold up here.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say it was a cold week for us, but it's kind of relatively mild for here in like central Illinois. Like we didn't have that much snowfall as of late, right?
Right.
We didn't get that Gulf Coast snow.
We lucked out. But dude, congrats. Welcome to the show, man.
Happy to be here, man. Thanks for having me here. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to give, you know, the listeners a bit of context, just kind of give them a little bit of the rigmarole of like what attracted you to herps and like, you know, what's the deal with them? You obviously like them to have you on the show.
I grew up in Northeastern Ohio and just sort of this little neighborhood. Didn't really have much to it at a first glance, but we had this trail system that sort of led back behind the neighborhood a little bit into this patch of woods. There'd be some creeks and a little bit of a kind of like a marshy habitat kind of area. And I'd take my bike out and I would go and I would explore and I'd go catch snapping turtles and snakes and frogs. But I originally wanted to be a marine biologist. I was obsessed with fish. I loved, you know, aquatic life. But one day my dad came home from work and he was sort of taking care of our pond because we also do landscaping as well. Okay. But there was a garter snake that was drinking out of our pond. So he put in a little bucket. Brought it up and showed me, and from that day on, I've been fascinated. It's been a pretty wild ride to where I am now, but back in the day, it was just me recording cringy videos on YouTube, just documenting my finds, but I loved it. It was a lot of fun.
I've seen a few of those. Pretty good.
Hey, appreciate it.
Yeah, it's funny, man. It's, you know, we all kind of have that innately instinct when we're young to, like, you know, you go find a creek, you want to go creek walking, you want to go marsh. You know, kind of
hardwired into us.
Yeah. So you said you guys manage a bit of land as well. And that's kind of harder and all that stuff.
Right. We do landscaping. So we build waterfalls and, make flower bed and stuff.
Okay.
Mulching. It's a lot of fun.
That is very neat. Yeah.
Exactly.
It helps you keep in tune with your circadian rhythm, you know?
Absolutely. For sure.
Where in Northeast Ohio are you?
Sort of Canton, Akron area. So it's like we live about 25 minutes from Akron, south of it at least. But yeah, it's not a whole lot to look at. But you know what? We've got our little patches of wilderness here and there.
I'm bad with Ohio geography. Are you near the lake then?
I am about an hour south of the lake. From what?
Is that closer than you are to the lake, mate?
Yeah, that's a bit closer. I'm more like an hour and a half, maybe an hour, 45 minutes from the lake.
So already I want to get into spiel. Have you seen Lake Erie water snakes? I'm curious.
Plenty of times. Got it. that was one of my favorite things growing up to catch, you know.
Okay, I would say this is somewhat of a white whale. I don't want to speak on your terms, Nate, but this is somewhat of a white whale for him. And, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing that subspecies of, you know.
Me and my buddy, actually, I have my buddy Nate Oberdeer, who has a herping account on Instagram. He does sort of photographs like Massasaugas and stuff. He lives over that way. So, but me and him, we go every summer up to Sandusky to go look for fox snakes. And the species that we end up finding over that way usually ends up just being the northern variety. But I like to go to Kelly's Island. And you can find the subspecies around there, where it's actually the Lake Erie water snake subspecies.
So, I mean, what really differentiates them? Is it just, are they like dwarfed or?
Well, not dwarfed. They can get pretty decent size. I mean, I think the northern waters get bigger, maybe, but especially you can tell, especially when they're young, they have a pretty unique pattern and color to them. It's very subtle.
But it's like more muted. I would suspect.
I'd say more of like a, I guess muted could be a good word to describe it. As they get older, obviously they lose that pattern, that lighter color, and they get darker. But yeah. There's a couple subtle differences, but
they're probably as variable as any other water snake. I mean, they're so variable depending on what population you're at.
Absolutely. I mean, I've seen northern water snakes that are bright red or brown, black. It's just so cool.
I love the red phenotypes.
Oh, it's amazing. I found one last summer, and it had just the most beautiful patterns. Huge one, too. Great.
I'm curious, man. Have you had, I guess, not better luck, but have you surveyed and seen more water snakes when it's, like, in the middle of summer? I tend to notice that when it's, like, the middle of summer, super hot, they still tend to be under rocks, especially if you're, like, near bodies of water.
I haven't really noticed a trend with it, but I tend to look for water snakes more during the midsummer because it gets so hot. Usually the only things you can find are around bodies of water.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely scorching during the summers here and you can't really flip.
No.
Last summer I took a trip over to like Cuyahoga area, and there's actually a population of five line skinks that I was looking at that I was checking out over there, which was pretty cool. But while I was doing that, I found this sort of creek bed. It was part of it was dried up and the other one kind of was kind of sunk in the mud a little bit, but along the edge there were some nice rocks to flip, and I was expecting to see some, maybe some brown snakes, some garters, but I flipped a rock and I saw this bright like pinkish white snake underneath the rock, and I had no idea what it was at first. Picked it up, at first I thought it was an albino, but it ended up being a melanistic or hypomelanistic northern water snake.
Really?
First one I've ever even heard of people finding. It's crazy.
So you found like a mutated phenotype in the wild, dude.
It was so quick. Cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Then if you go towards Sandusky, you get the melanistic eastern garter snakes along the lake. You can find them on some of the islands. And I guess it was just, you know, probably a mutation occurred. And then obviously it does a lot better than albinos because it's darker, you know, probably better for camouflage, and the gene got kind of passed on, and now they have like a huge population of them all along the islands, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I wonder what happens with that, because out by me, I'm not close to Lake Michigan, but you know, out by there you have middle populations of melanistic garter snakes as well. So I was like, hey, is this a lake effect type of thing? Like, I wonder.
No, it's a weird trend. It's cool though.
Well, I feel like we're already jumping into it, so you know, you already kind of dived in onto why you're interested in herbs, but obviously you do a little bit of photography on the side as, you know, it's a hobby.
Yep. You
know? What's been hard with that? Like, what gravitated you to just starting taking videos and photos?
I used to do it all on my phone. I'd do phone photography, and eventually, because my mom's an art teacher, so in terms, I kind of got into art, and I've always liked drawing and stuff, and I guess it's could consider it an art form, so
yeah,
you know, I guess that sort of stems from that. But I would take my phone out. I have my little attachment macro lens that I'd put on my phone, and I'd start, you know, just kind of taking pictures of snakes and stuff.
Oh, so you're doing phone photography with these photos?
No, not now. That was sort of back when
in
I was
the earlier days. Younger. Okay,
yeah. There's been a bit of a development over the last, like, I want to say year and a half. But then I started incorporating, you know, my lighting techniques into that. And then eventually I switched over to a digital camera. I use a 5D Mark IV, a Canon, and it does pretty well. It's a really nice camera. I like it, but I've been getting a lot more into it the last year. In fact, last Christmas was the first time I've ever used a digital camera, which was cool. So it's nice to see sort of the development over the year, learning tips and tricks. It's just pretty fun.
Yeah, man, that is a fun development, because, you know, I, similarly to you, I started with my phone, and then I had a little pocket camera, I had a little Canon, I don't even know what you call it. It's just a little snap kind of camera. And then now I have a Nikon, but you know, I still love Canon, and I would say it's key. Lighting is one of the most key elements when it comes to photography, for sure.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I mean, I have pictures from midsummer where I wasn't using flash, because I used to not use flash. But my buddy gave me a flash as a gift, and started using it, just sort of tinkering around with it. Then I found out that diffusers allowed the light to be a lot softer and make the picture a lot more appealing. So then I sort of developed into that, and now I carry around a whole heavy, like 50-pound bag full of equipment around everywhere.
Dude, it only gets worse, because then you get to decide what lens do I carry, how much crap do I bring. It's insane.
Big decisions. Yeah. Now I have to, every time I have a little photo shoot with a snake or something, I have to make sure I'm not forgetting stuff. Because I've forgotten things in the middle of the Everglades before.
Oh, that's not a place you want to lose something.
No.
You're not getting that back.
Somewhere.
We've all left memorabilia during our field herping.
Definitely.
And, you know, I guess another point or two is that, you know, because this is a relatively expensive hobby to get into. Once you get into photography, then you have to decide, do I get my big telephoto lens or do I invest in a macro lens? And obviously with some of your photos, you've definitely invested in the macro aspect of things, which I love, because, I mean, you can get such minute and finer details on subjects. It's just so tough to decide, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And it helps that, because I guess going back to my parents, my mom, she does professional portrait photography. So for a while, I've been using her camera until I can sort of afford my own, because I'm a college student at the moment. But she uses a 70 to 200 zoom lens. And I've never really gotten into that, because I don't know, I felt like it was more for, you know, far away, like mammal, birds and that kind of stuff. But I kind of want to try it out on some herpetofauna as well. Probably next
turtles.
Summer.
You know, turtles is probably one of the best subjects for it.
Absolutely. Definitely. But yeah, no, I usually switch between the 100mm and the 50mm macro lens, and sort of go in between those two. Because you can still do a lot with those.
You can. I would say the sweet spot for me as of late is like 15. Like I have a 15 to 50 kit lens for my Nikon. And I would say I'm usually around 24 to 50. Because I tend to try to be a little bit closer to my subjects if I can.
Yeah. Happy medium.
Yeah. Great happy medium.
Lately, I've been wanting a wide angle so bad. So that's going to be something for next summer that I really want to get, is a 15mm wide angle.
Yeah. And aspirations for fisheye? You ever thought of fisheye too?
I have. Definitely. It's something I've been wanting to look into. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. There's so many different lenses you can use. Just got to pick which one you want to get.
Yeah. So, you know, exactly. Dude. So I'm curious, man, how many of Ohio's herpetofauna do you think you've seen? And then out there, because, you know, look, me coming from Illinois, we have roughly around the same amount. I think 100 plus. Mm-hmm. I think it's the same for Ohio. And, you know, I'm nowhere near finishing my life lift here. But it seems like you've been on a roll lately with finding
Ohio. Yeah. The last couple of years have been crazy, because, you know, I've been able to travel and check out all these cool areas and places and just go explore on my free time. But I don't have too many species of snakes left to see in Ohio. A couple specific species, I think I'm less than 8 species of snake left to see in Ohio.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. 8 to 10, maybe. Last summer, I think I knocked off, actually summer, the last two summers, I've knocked off smooth green snakes, Kirtland snakes, which is a huge one for me. Plains garter snake was huge as well for Ohio. And then Massasaugas, of course.
Yeah. That's the big one there.
That's the really, and that's the That one's pretty sketchy too, because you really got to do your research before you enter any areas looking for them too. Know which ones you're allowed to be in, first of all. And yeah. Then, the rules are so lengthy with finding them, because obviously there's so little of them left in Ohio. There's only really a couple places left to see them, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, as little populations as you guys have in Ohio, it's even more minuscule here in Illinois, where it used to be a stronghold for them. And now, I mean, most of the populations are really just aging out. There's not enough recruitment. I mean, they're honestly one of the snake species that will go extinct or extirpated in the States. It's very sad. I'd love to see them, though.
Right before your very eyes. It's crazy.
It's a privilege, man. It's a privilege. Just a little swamp rattler, you know? Before the plow and everything. This is crazy.
Such a unique species. Cystrurus has always been one of my favorite genuses. Hopefully we'll be knocking off pygmies next summer.
Okay. Well, yeah, obviously touching on pygmies, you've done, you know, one of my questions I had in the outline is like, why you, as any other Ohioan, gravitated towards Florida?
I saw that. That was really funny. It's true, thing though. Is, it's like, I love Ohio. Ohio's great, yeah. And there's so much it has to offer, especially, you know, during the, I think like the sweet spot is probably spring and early fall. Because during the spring, you get all the reptile species, and then around March, you can have all the salamander breedings and, you know, everything going crazy in the vernal pools. Yeah. And then around, you know, fall, you can also, you know, salamander season is back in time, you know, back in business. Mm-hmm. But during the winter, it's just depressing, to say the least. Sub-zero temps, you know, every day. The last, I want to say 4 or 5 years, me and my family have been going down south every Christmas. You know, Christmas in the sun, traded our white snow for white sand.
Beautiful. But I got snowbirded a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, and then, you know, I get to see some awesome species of reptiles in the process. It's, you know, it makes you feel pretty lucky, because I mean, there's a lot of disappearing land in Florida.
It's
brutal down there.
I mean, that one thing they were trying to do of like pave over like what some state parks or freaking golf courses was ridiculous. Yeah. I'm so glad the outcry and the actual public legislation took place to where, you know, they kind of nipped it in the bud, so to speak. But I mean, it's just outrageous they would even, you know, suggest something like that.
Right. I mean, do what we can to slow it down. But it just keeps encroaching. So it makes me feel lucky to be actually down there and being able to see all this stuff, because, you know, a lot of these spots that you can check out now, you know, I'm not sure how long they're going to be here really. No, I mean, it's, you know, winter's cold. There's not much you can, I mean, I've been getting more into landscape photography and stuff, with the cold weather, you know, do what you can to keep, you know, entertained until the spring hits.
Do your walks, do what you can do to, I guess, reset your soul. I mean, that's kind of why I gravitated towards getting into a telephoto lens, just because, you know, I'm surrounded by birder friends that I've pseudo converted into part-time herpers. But I mean, in the wintertime, you know, they're golden. You know, they can just go out anytime to see mammals and birds. And I'm like, you know what? I think I need to do a little bit of that.
You know? Yes. Yeah.
Winter has a long draw to it. And I'm just like, I can't always just expect, you know, I can't wait till herb season's here. I can't wait till herb season's here. Like, you know, there's other stuff to do too, and to see.
Yeah, that's honestly one of the reasons I got a 500 millimeter lens. I got, granted, it's a bit of a budget one. It doesn't have autofocus. I had to manually focus it. But I need to start bringing my camera along with work, because I do a lot of driving for work. And this winter, I've just been seeing quite a few, like, bald eagles on roadkill deer carcasses all over the place. And, like, just 2 weeks ago, I was driving down and I saw this – a fully grown adult and also a juvenile, like 2.5 years old. It's at a stage where all the white and brown are streaking together, so it doesn't look like a bald eagle at all. It looks like this weird sleet eagle, I guess.
It's more like one of those like Middle Eastern eagles, like Imperial eagles, just all that flecking. I like that. I like when they have it like that.
Yeah, I was like, man, if I had actually brought my camera along to work, I would have gotten some sick photos, because they were just right there on the ground. Raw daylight.
Sure. I mean, I relate to you. I drive a lot for my job too, and I see I'm right near the Illinois River. So 2 weeks ago, actually, funny enough, you know, there was like just a smattering of bald eagles, and they're all just, you know, harassing this one eagle over, I think, a carp, you know, because they were on the ice on top of the river. And then also I see plenty of kestrels, and I've never gotten a good shot at an American kestrel. As common as they may be, they're still cool to me. Little tiny raptor, you know?
Yeah, like today, got bored and went out. It was supposed to be like, I think it was like, the high was 40 today, which is great. Warmest day we've had forever.
Yeah, it felt pseudo warm. It was short weather today.
It was.
Stockholm weather warm. Right. Stockholm syndrome warm.
Yes.
Well, last night, I guess technically this morning at like 2 a.m., me and my buddy got bored and we went out to this sort of remote lake in the middle of nowhere because I'm going to Ohio University. So that's where I'm at. I'm in Athens, so Southern Ohio.
The boonies.
Literally. The sticks. But you're just surrounded by wilderness. So there's so many cool places, so many like state parks and stuff you can see. You've got Wayne, like 20 minutes away. But yeah, there's all these crazy remote lakes that you can go and visit. So we went out to one and it's, I think the light pollution scale, it's like at like a 3. So there's pretty much no light pollution that gets through. And you know, you can see every single star in the sky. It's just the most beautiful thing. Yeah. So we walked out on the lake, took some pictures, came back today. And I was driving on the way there. And we saw this deer carcass being devoured by buzzards.
Okay.
Really, really cool.
That is neat, dude. Wow.
Just really neat stuff. I mean, things I don't normally stop and look at, but, you know, start to be more appreciative of that kind of stuff when you don't get to see it very often now.
Yeah, I think that's why it's nice coming from us being Midwestern boys, and we have that lull season that is winter. You know, you get to appreciate more other aspects of the natural world and just kind of get more into your naturalist settings instead of just a herper setting.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah, by the time late February starts rolling around, you start chopping at the bit, like, well, this salamander's going to come out.
You're like, plants what? Fish what? No, reptiles, amphibians? Okay.
Yep. Like, as soon as March hits, it's game on.
But you said you kind of started with a little bit of fish, you know, wanting to be a marine biologist. So I'm curious. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, I don't really know much of fish. I like to dive in, but what, darters?
You know, yeah, like, good joke right there.
Well, I mean, what gravitated you to? Were you into like little darters in the creeks or shiners?
I mean, well, we're a fishing family. I mean, all we do is fish. We have a boat that we trailer up the Erie. We actually take it to the Florida Keys on vacations. Ooh. And we go deep sea fishing. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're walleye fishermen. You know, we grew up actually, I've got my walleye brawl shirt on right now.
Yeah, always remember your roots, right?
Yeah. So we're fishermen, you know, grew up fishing, grew up around the lakes and the ponds. And, you know, that's where we'd go to relax and get away. So, I guess it kind of, that's kind of what led me to really want to be a marine biologist, because I just love anything slimy, scaly. But then obviously I sort of grew into a more reptile and amphibian kind of love.
Yeah, later but on. It is good that you had that first love to begin with, because I mean, it is like one of the main things that get impact. That's probably the most vulnerable to, you know, pollution and, you know, stuff like that and whatnot. So.
Yeah,
there is a necessity to love and protect these things, you know.
Definitely, absolutely.
So I'm curious, Nate. Do you have any of Connor's photos that we could start pulling up? You know, because we're already like, I think what, half an hour in, and you know, I'd love to show the folks some of your photos, some of your photography, and we could just kind of dive a bit into it. Unless you had another question, Nate. You know,
one question: any particular species you want pulled up in your photos?
Mm-hmm. There's a couple northern species that are pretty special. Of course, we have some of the South Florida pictures that I got, but they're, take out the melanistic eastern garter since we brought that up in conversation.
Oh, yeah, got the wrong one.
That works, hey, too. That's a really good one.
So would you say that was one of your white whales, the Massasauga? You know.
Well, this is the one that I grew up wanting to see.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, honestly, I mean, this was a dream come true, being able to finally lay my eyes upon these snakes. And because, like we were talking about, who knows how much longer I'm going to be able to see these, you know, with, yeah, you know, a couple of these strongholds left. So this was actually one of our best days, where we saw 7 in one day. Crazy.
Okay. After we're done recording, I'm going to be asking for some geolocation details.
Yeah. It was,
yeah, we're going to discuss serious matters after this.
Yeah, but
close more deals.
Yeah, well, and this photo was with my, because I used to have my, like, phone photography. This was, I think, I want to say I think this was 2 years ago when this photo was taken. Springs ago. I don't know.
Sure, sure.
But, this one was with my phone, and with my little macro lens. I put my phone on the end of a little selfie stick, and I took a little from that.
Nate knows this method well. He knows this method well.
Hey, don't call me out like that, Brian.
It's not bad. Okay.
this is good. This is one of my favorite sagas that I've found. We saw a couple little neonates as well, which was really cool.
Oh, man. Tiny, right? Tiny.
But yeah, when the grass is low, because you really only have a certain period of time throughout the year to go and search for these.
Because after that, they're just invisible to even detect.
Yeah, absolutely. Hard to really.
I mean, even now, it still does freaking blend in to the background.
Oh, I mean, the camouflage is crazy.
Yeah, and one of the things I've seen with Massasauga photography is that they have some of the most wicked looking eyes. Like, they just have, you know, galaxy looking eyes.
Amazing. Yeah, and that's probably one of my favorite things about them. But yeah, they're so beautiful. Yeah, there you go. There's a little bit of an up close. I actually like their tongues. They're sort of like dark, sort of black, like a pork tongue. Is just so cool to me. But I'm trying to think. That's really cool. But
that is cool.
Obviously, you can see, actually see, it's a little rattle in the on the right-hand side over there too. Yeah, there you go. But yeah, the quality isn't as good because, you know, this was taken with my phone. So I'm really excited to get back out next season, I guess this upcoming season.
Yeah.
To hopefully get some pictures of them.
Well, I'm curious, man. We could touch on what your next white whale is, but have you ever seen any hog noses, Ohio hog noses?
That's our white. That's the big one. That is.
Okay.
We got a pretty fun story about that one.
Okay, because I keep chatting up Nate. Like, you guys have some of the best looking phenotypes with the orange phenotype is pretty prevalent where you guys are in.
The Halloween phase.
Yeah.
Down in Southwestern. Yeah, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Are just incredible. No, we've went up, me and my buddy, I think this is outing number 8 was the last one. We have gone on 8 outings, for these things, out in Northwestern Ohio. And, it's just been an absolute train wreck.
Sure,
I mean, it's been awful. I think we've gone out, 8 times. And the closest we got to a hognose was a fresh DOR on the road.
Oh.
And it was gorgeous. It was like bright orange.
Heart-wrenching.
It was heartbreaking. And then right after, we found a milk snake, that DOR on the road as well. Fresh.
Oh, man. I was going to say, if it was live, that would have been a nice consolation. But, man.
I know. DOR, that would be
sheesh.
But, yeah. So the closest we've gotten to is a DOR. I mean, we've looked everywhere. The only place I haven't looked is Southern Ohio, around where I am now, I guess. But I feel like they're more scattered around here.
Sandy soil.
They're tough snakes to track and find. Like, you really got to either set up sites for them, like flip sites for them, or just really know your shit when it comes to, you know, researching their habits and whatnot. They're a tough snake. Right. They're a tough snake for me. I've only seen, I think, about 4 or 3 in the wild.
Mm-hmm. We're really hoping next spring, or this, I keep saying next spring, this upcoming spring, to hopefully finally track them down. We have some trips planned. We have a trip, a complete East Coast tour trip, basically. We're starting from South Florida and going all the way back up the East Coast, back up to Ohio.
Wow. So,
yeah, that'll be fun. But we're also going out to Pennsylvania to hopefully look for some as well, some hognose.
Yeah, that is a good stronghold state, so I don't blame you.
Definitely.
Also for timber, so I don't blame you at all.
Yeah, so that's another good target. That's another goal next coming season as well. So,
but I was going to say, I probably told a story in the podcast before, but the only Eastern hognose I've ever seen was in a jar of alcohol. And basically, my high school bio teacher, who's lived in Ohio 65-ish years, roughly. Yeah, about 65, 66 years. Only ever seen one wild hognose, but it's back when he was a kid hiking around the woods. The one he has in that jar of alcohol, one of his students and his dad found it because, of course, it's Ohio. They automatically assumed it was a copperhead and killed it. Oh. Put it in the jar, and labeled most dangerous snake in Ohio, and brought in to show him. And he had to like sit them down and give him the talking to about it. So he still, that was like maybe 10, 15 years before I took that class. And he's still there, and he still kept it to show people. It still had the original tape, most dangerous snake in Ohio, on it. So
Ohio and spreading matter. That's what we call it.
Elusive North American cobras, man.
They are. They're neat. They're neat snakes, man.
They're awesome.
They are pretty cool.
So cool. That's the big goal next, you know.
Hey.
So it's hopefully, fingers crossed. Sure. This is the year of the hog.
So, I mean, we're, that's a snake white whale, but, you know, I guess we can show a little bit of love to amphibians. Anything with that, like any white whale or any amphibian that you're kind of enthralled with that's from Ohio?
Yeah. For a while, it was tiger salamanders, but we just found our first. Solid. Yeah, we just found our first one ever in northern Ohio, which is now where I expected it.
Okay,
so that was cool. But hopefully, I want to find some down here as well. But this past fall, my huge white whale, the whole pretty much entirety of the season was red salamanders. I probably went on 14 outings. With pristine habitat, I went to like 15 different seeps, and nothing except, there it is, except the one that I found, in I think it was November, under a wet, saturated log, and that's really where you're gonna find them, under those wet, saturated logs with mud underneath.
Wow. That is gorgeous, dude.
Such an amazing animal. And it's like right at the peak of its life where it's like the brightest, most colorful. Because as they get older, they lose that really bright coloration. They can still be beautiful, of course, but they get more of
I would have mistaken this as a mud salamander. I mean,
right. Gorgeous. It's just such a neat animal. So that was definitely one of the highlights of the year for me. Because I haven't seen that species in probably over 4 years. The last time I saw him was in Newcomer's Town, which is basically somewhere in the middle of nowhere in central Ohio.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a clean specimen. I mean, and it's great having the leaf as the background.
Yeah.
The contrast.
Nice little, the classic leaf.
It is a lot.
That was a really fun one.
We don't get those in Illinois, so you know I'm already somewhat gravitated to Ohio just for the water snake and the Halloween hognose, but this is another one that's just making me gravitate towards heading out.
And then probably the most trouble, maybe excluding hognose, because that one's been pretty rough, but probably the second most difficult snake I've had to find. I don't know if I have any pictures up here for it, but green snakes, they are tough in Ohio to find. They're here, but you just got to get really lucky and you got to search for days to find them. I think I've seen at this point, There you go. There's a rough green. That one was from the Outer Banks, actually. But rough greens are one of the species that I'm hopefully going to be targeting this spring in Southern Ohio, hopefully.
Yeah, I didn't even know you guys had roughies. I knew you guys had the smooths. I didn't know you guys get roughies too.
Yeah, they come up to, I think this is pretty much their furthest range, like northern range, is Southern Ohio. But yeah, no, we do get them here. Actually, I can probably find them 15, 20 minutes away from campus if I find the right habitat. So that's the goal, hopefully.
That's nice. That's sweet.
I've seen them in, I think, 4 states so far. I've seen them in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. So now I need the 5th, Ohio.
Solid. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're fun. They're fun. You can basically just go up to a swamp's edge, and then you shine the trees, and you'll see that bright gummy worm.
Sure. It's just so cool. I've seen that for, like, Texas. That's, like, some of the best ways, just to shine them. You know, here in Illinois or Missouri, I mainly just find them in the daytime. And it is a lot tougher, for sure, but it's also a bit more rewarding when you see them on the crawl and the foliage, on the tree, on the edges of trees and whatnot. So they're neat snakes. You can't go wrong with, like, just a delicate-looking, nimble green snake.
Oh,
so,
I know.
So inoffensive.
And their behavior is so unique, too. I mean, I love their periscoping, because sometimes they'll, if you stick your hand up above them, they'll try and climb on your hand, and they'll tap their body off the ground.
Yeah.
So cool.
And, I mean, they're out here hunting grasshoppers and other, you know, invertebrates. Yeah. So, I mean,
insectivores, they're just amazing.
So
cool.
They definitely do no wrong. Awesome. I would say also in the fall, when it's like, maybe say it's a hot, relatively dry day, when maybe other snakes are around, I tend to notice that they're out, because that's when grasshoppers are out, because grasshoppers and you know, crickets, they prefer drier weather and drier, hotter weather conditions. And so the green snakes will be out foraging to find them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's when I've usually seen them, honestly.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen them on too many rainy days.
No.
Although I feel like they'd be more inclined than being out on rainy days. I don't know why, but it's usually those hot days that you'll see them just chilling in the shrubs.
Yeah. So you said you have seen smooths in your state.
I have. Okay. I've seen, I think over the last couple of years, I've seen, I think 1, 2, 3, 4 now. I've seen 4 of them. And one of them was a big rabid female, which is great to see.
Sweet.
Because there've been quite a few studies conducted, and signs have shown that they've been decreasing in population. So it's really good to see some reproducing populations out there somewhere, which is nice.
I'm trying to think, am I wrong in thinking that they're one of those species that they don't have a long, not gestation period, but I guess incubation period? Like, they lay the eggs and then they're kind of out and about in a couple weeks. Am I wrong? I'm thinking. I know some snakes do that. I don't know if the smooths do that.
I'm not sure. I've seen baby, like, little tiny hatchling greens before.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure how long their incubation is, though. I know that I've seen a video of, I don't know if you know who Will Robertson is, but he has a great video on YouTube of him watching those. That's a good one.
That's a nice little experiment, just setting up the camera and just, you know, having it on record to have wild snakes hatch. I mean, it's pretty legit.
Always wanted to see it. He's so cool.
Yeah, dude.
We found an area, in Wayne National Forest, with tons of fossorial snake eggs underneath rocks, but it was the wrong season, so they'd already hatched. So we're hoping to go back there this season to hopefully catch them before they hatch. Nick, hit them at the peak.
Sure. That'd be neat. Well, shoot, man. I mean, let's hop into some of your other photos. Maybe go down further south now, like maybe some.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know if you included some North Carolina or Florida photos. So this is gonna be all new to me. I haven't looked at the photos. Did you have anything in particular? That one corn snake photo you had was spectacular.
I appreciate it. That one was so much fun. That was like the last there. Look at that.
Yeah, dude. What a great photo.
And it was crazy because it was 60 degrees when I found the snake. And it was just that defensive. I thought it was, you know, pretty, you know, hunkered down. But actually, I found it inside a suitcase.
Wait, what?
All right. So I was cruising in the, like, along, like, the cane fields, sort of like a last ditch effort to hopefully turn up something noteworthy. It was 3 a.m. and I had sort of given back. I was going to turn around and head home. So I sort of pulled into this little lot to go ahead and turn around and head back towards the hotel we were staying at, and looked off the side of the road, and there was a mattress that was thrown off. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. So flipped it, and underneath the mattress was a suitcase. And I opened it up and peered inside, and this guy was just coiled up inside. And it was 60 degrees when I found that, which is crazy.
It's always on that last pass when you've given up hope and you're done for the night or early morning in your case. And, you know, you say, screw it. There's a mattress on the side of the road. That's so Florida too.
Oh, I know. It had been a brutal trip prior to that as well. Tons of DORs. I mean, tons of dead swamp snakes that was a huge target of mine I wanted to see. Swamp snakes, dead corns, cottons everywhere. I mean, it was lots of DOR, lots of death. But in the mix, there were some moments where, you know, it did end up being pretty good.
That all was not lost. I mean, especially in this case, I mean, that's a classic corn snake, you would call it. That's beautiful.
It really is. And, all the corns I've seen before this have been sort of, it has those like sort of white bands around those, diamond patches on the back, or I guess those saddles.
Yeah.
But this one was dark red. It was so cool. And you can't see it in this photo, but the second half of the snake on its ventral side is it gets really nice dark orange on the belly.
Okay.
That's something I've always wanted to see in a corn. Super cool.
So pretty.
To get the photo, I would take my hand as I was holding one hand with the camera, take my other hand, and I'd kind of flick around my finger a little bit.
Yeah, the little snake charmer hand trick.
Yep. And so he'd rear up and get ready to strike, and I'd take the picture. So I have tons of outtakes of him just leaping out. But this is a fun one.
When was this? Like what month?
This one was I'm trying to think. January 2nd.
I mean, yeah, that sounds about
right.
No,
wait, this one, yeah, oh no, yeah, January 2nd, because
okay.
We also do pyrotechnics. We shoot fireworks shows, and that's why we were. Okay. This was actually around like West Palm area. So, so we were over there shooting a fireworks show, for a country club, and trying to think, where was that? I lost it, but. But we shot the fireworks show for the New Year's like Eve party, for somebody's New Year's Eve party.
Sure.
And yeah, and then the second, you know, and then that night, on the first, it sort of led into the second.
Yeah,
but we spent Christmas and New Year's around there, so we were there for around 2.5 weeks because I'm also in the marching band, the Marching 110, and we had a bowl game in Orlando. So I was there for maybe 4 or 5 days. Then we went over to Marco Island, which is where we were staying, and I'd kind of go into the glades every night and try and turn anything up. And I saw tons of cottonmouths, lots of cottons, lots of Neurodia of sorts, green water snakes, browns. And of course the Florida bandits that were ever present.
Yeah.
And then that was cool. But yeah, no. And then this guy turned up last minute and sort of really, really took a nice, it was like
the, you're like, yeah, sympathize Neurodia, you know.
Nothing I know. Wrong with Neurodia, like, but still, I'm scary. Like, I love them, but I want something different. So this was really, really nice, just like the final piece of resistance to send off the trip.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, from what I've seen, I've never been to Florida, but, you know, I've seen a majority of Florida corn snakes. They have a lot of gray influence, and that one looks like a Georgia corn snake for all matters. I mean, that's a great looking specimen.
It was fantastic. That's from my, I mean, I haven't seen too many corns since I really didn't start like going down to South Florida. I mean, of course, I've gone before, you know, throughout my younger years, but when I really got into reptiles and really started looking, it's been really a couple years I've went down there, but I tend to notice that around like the Miami area, sort of like the Southern Glades, they get that really nice, rich red or orange color. They're super nice. And I've seen one corn in South Georgia, and it was equally as beautiful. But yeah, they're really nice. They're really nice down there.
Yeah, sure. I'm curious, man. So plenty of cottonmouths, gators galore. Any crocs?
So, you know, that was really one. No. So hopefully the next trip. No, not this past one, sadly. But plenty of gators.
Which is always nice. I think we take it for granted just how they rebounded.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, they're everywhere now, and it's so good to see. I mean, it's very, very nice. But obviously, as a northerners, you know, we don't get to see them, so it's always a privilege getting to watch them. Especially with such close proximity, you know, you can just go right above them, and they're sunk in the water, and when I was cruising, I'd peer over the edge, and then I get splashed everywhere because one would zoom off into the drenched the whole time.
Sweet, man. Well, I mean, you were talking about black swamp snake. That's an interesting little critter snake too. I mean,
Melanistic garter.
Oh yeah, yes. We were going to touch on that. Man, that's such a
One was that was actually around Sandusky when that one was found. So beautiful. So much different. Like at first you'd think, you know, first glance it was a racer. Jet black, you know.
Yeah. It does change the form of them when they're all black like that.
It really does. You can see there's a little bit of like flecking on the chin there.
Yeah. Kind of like a racer, like you said, like a black racer.
Yeah. It's just so nice. They're very, very cool. Wow. That was definitely one of the highlights because I haven't seen a melanistic garter in probably 5 years. So it was nice to finally find another one and get some pictures of it.
So you've been pretty fortunate in finding, you know, not common phenotypes of snakes with the hypomelanistic snake. Absolutely. And this melanistic.
Especially this past year. I mean, the hypomelanistic water snake and then the garter, the melanistic garter, which was great. Yeah.
Sweet, dude.
Yeah. So that was... It's awesome. Actually, I think there should be a picture of the melanistic water in there somewhere. I think I just saw it.
I think I saw it too. Was it the close up, the facial?
I think so. So that's a nice one.
I do remember seeing it. That was
Yeah, definitely. One of my favorites.
I would have thought you said Kirtland's were a tough one to find too. Are they relatively a bit more there? Are they a bit more prevalent in Ohio? I'm not too.
No, they're Ooh, that's a nice black racer. That one was actually on the beach. But the Kirtland snakes. The Kirtland snakes are so hard to find. You have to really, really, really do your research to have a chance at all.
Because they're so habitat specific, man. You know,
right? The thing is, they're so weird. Like you can find them under the strangest material. I found mine. Huh?
Carpets.
Yeah. I found mine under a disintegrating sort of cardboard like square.
Sure.
Yeah. That one of my buddies laid out. So that was awesome. Actually there was two of them under it. It was a double plug, which is crazy. But that was another one I've been
watching. Out in Indy, and we tried our hand just for like an hour or two. We didn't have any luck, but we did find a Nerodia the night before. But I would love to see them. They're in Illinois as well. I would love to see them. They're not terribly common as well. They're also another species in decline.
Sadly enough,
they just have such specific habitat requirements. You know, it's just like when you're that specific, you're kind of in trouble already.
Right. And the thing is, like, you find them in the weirdest areas, like just like the most disgusting ditches, like parking lot ditches. I mean, it's just. They're so weird.
They are.
They're cool. Unique.
I don't even know what they eat. They eat like dragonfly larvae, mosquito larvae, something like that. I don't even know.
I'm not even entirely like aquatic species.
I mean, it would have to. right? Just because they're in that type of habitat.
Right.
Maybe some Australians, but
they sort of coexist with the Massasaugas.
Yeah.
They'll utilize those crayfish burrows as well. Same thing with the rattlesnakes as well.
Yeah, so I wonder, maybe some crawdads.
Right. I know queen snakes like to eat freshly molted crayfish, obviously, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, me neither. But no, queen snakes are another one I love. And I've seen some of your queen snake photos, and like they're arguably one of my favorite nature scene species, you know.
Oh, they're amazing. They're so cool. And back on the topic of white whales, this is a species that I didn't start seeing until like a couple years ago.
Sure.
Because I mean, we just don't get them in northeastern Ohio unless you know where to find them. Like I know there's some places in Cuyahoga that they're supposedly seen and stuff. But this one was
That was great.
Yeah. This one was found in Athens. That's probably, honestly, that might be the pick of the summer for me. Perfect timing.
Fantastic, dude. Well, yeah, great composition, just a great side
Thank
profile.
You. Yeah, that was a fun one. That was awesome. And the thing is, this queen snake was found in a like partially dried up, like tiny little stream system as well.
Uh-huh.
Which is pretty cool. But they're pretty prevalent down here in southern Ohio. So I probably have seen 30 plus of them this past fall here. Which is nice
that is nice.
So like prior to this, I haven't seen any of them. I mean, I had no one spot in central Ohio that I can flip for them along a riverbed. But besides that, I mean, I haven't seen them until the last maybe 2 years, which is really, really cool.
I mean, that's kind of funny, man, because here in central Illinois, there's specific spots to target them. But if I go up to northern Illinois, they're quite common, many of the rivers and stream systems.
Right.
So do you guys get grams as well, like the other species?
No, I wish. Man, okay. That's another one we'd love to see one day.
I mean, I personally would love to see them as well. I don't find them as pretty as queen snakes, but I think just for like the rarity, I would love to see them.
Right. You know? That's the hypomelanistic.
My gosh.
it was a stellar snake. Yeah. Absolutely.
Different with that snake once you picked it up.
Oh, I know. Absolutely gorgeous animal. That was definitely probably my favorite find of the summer, I'd say. Because it's just, to find oddities like that. I mean,
that comes
like that. Right. I mean, that could be a once in a lifetime snake right there. I mean, it's just so cool.
You found it. It is. You get, that's your claim to fame. And the melanistic starter, that's your claim to fame. It's cool, dude.
Right. So I'm hoping to go back there this summer and potentially find it. Cause I actually found that snake twice this past summer, once in shed and once out of shed. And this is obviously out of shed. But hopefully I want to see it when it's like, big. That'd be awesome.
You know, besides the color, like with the head, I'm getting pale milk snake vibes just because of the paleness.
I know. Yeah. Yeah,
that's funny.
Such a clean snake.
Yeah.
You can see what I mean by like the pink in there.
Yeah.
Pink and white.
Wow.
Man, could you imagine what Zach Loftman's reaction to seeing this would be?
I can see him diverting in two ways of topic. Either we need to put this in the hobby right now or just leave it as it is. Something like that. Well, I mean, I guess touching on the hobby side of things, do you keep any captives? I'm curious.
I do. I have an Argentine black and white tegu. His name is Houdini.
That's a lot of lizards. That's a lot of lizards.
There's another close-up of the melanistic, or hypomelanistic, excuse me.
Yeah, it's just a pale head.
And their eyes, it almost has like a pink hue to it as well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, photos are fantastic. You take great photos, but I can't imagine how it looked in person.
Thank you. Oh, it was a whole different,
ball game. Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. I almost lost it in the river while trying to take that picture. It like dove off and I freaked. I like dove off after it.
Like, no, the world needs to see you. Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, literally. But yeah, so, no, I have
black and white tegu. Yeah. How big already?
He's a solid 2.5-3 foot. He's pretty big. Yeah. And then I have a bearded dragon as well. In Tabasco. Yeah, there's the tegu.
Dude, I love tegus. They like whenever I kind of settle down with my lifestyle, I would love a tegu. I love monitors as well, don't get me wrong, but tegus are just, you know, a bit more chill, and obviously they kind of have that natural ebb and flow to them, to where they slow down
right
in their seasonality compared to monitors, which are usually always on the go.
I mean, it's basically a scaly dog.
Yeah, like scaly dog or cat. Just, oh
right, no, that's, he's an awesome animal. He used to be pretty bad with handling, but he's gotten better over the years, which is nice. So I can pick him up and, you know.
I mean, did you get him? Like, when did you get him? As a youngling or?
Not super young. He was still about this big.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So I think I got him in 2018. Oh, 2017.
So you've had him a minute.
Yeah. He's had him for quite a while. I took him out. I remember the day I took him out of outside for the first time. He got up on his hind. Yeah, he got up on his hind two legs, started chasing me.
The stories I've heard of the first time a tegu sees real sunlight, how they react.
It was not a pretty sight.
They freak, man. They freak.
Yeah. Then he ran off into a bush, and I had to chase him. I know, it's like terrified. But
terrifying. My gosh.
He's good with light now. They just have to adapt a little bit. You know, take him out there a couple times. You know. Just you have to like introduce slowly. The natural UV. But yeah, he's a really, really neat animal. We also have cats. I remember when he was a bit smaller, when we just got him, they would kind of like, you know, pat at his tail a little bit when he'd walk past.
Just play around with him a bit, you know.
Yeah, really cool. I used to be really big into like reptile keeping.
Okay.
I had a blue tongue skink.
Sweet. I do too. Yeah.
I made the terrible mistake of getting a baby Savannah monitor. That was a bad idea.
That's usually how Savannah monitor keeping ends.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and it didn't do well in the captivity. It didn't survive that long.
Sure.
Which is unfortunate. But
I mean, they still come in droves. I mean, I think as of late, from what I've seen, not as much as they used to, but still, they still come in so much.
Right. And I'd have this bad habit of getting sick animals from a reptile show, trying to nurse it back to health.
That's a tough route. It's a very tough route.
But over the years, I've kind of gotten out of it a bit. Now I just have my two lizards, and I love them to death, but it's a lot of work.
What's the other one?
The bearded dragon.
Bearded dragon, you said. Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. He's a neat animal. Really chill. Doesn't do much. He's cool though.
Yeah, they're kind of consider them like, what do you call them, like guards, like sedentary guards. You know how they're kind of stoic. Yeah, they're stoic in their mannerisms. They don't do too much. Exactly. But when you look at them, they look so regal.
Right.
Or goofy, depending on what they're doing.
Also, you know what? I just remember, I also used to have a collared lizard, and they have a really short lifespan. So we got him when he was a bit older, and he kind of passed on eventually after so many years of keeping him. But it was a beautiful animal. Loved it. You know, yeah. It was a super, super cool lizard to have.
Never any snakes?
I had a spotted python for a little while. Oh. But I had a horror story with it. That one, I love that snake to death. It was the greatest snake ever. Ate really well, super friendly.
Like mine then.
Oh, what kind of snake do you have?
Like many other spotted.
Yeah. No, mine's a Stimson's. Still Antaresia, but
different. Mm-hmm. That's cool though. No, the thing is, I had him in this tank, and I had these reptile clamps to keep the lid on, right? And I still don't know how he did it. But he managed to slip through those clamps, and I found the lid off of the container, off of the tank, and he had escaped. And I found him a year later on top of a chair, still alive, but not for long. And that was like the worst day ever. I was devastated because it was such a neat animal.
Yeah. At least you found it and you kind of got some closure, even though it's maybe not the best type of way, but I mean, at least done and dealt with.
Right.
I think that's what really took me out of reptile keeping. And you know, incidents happen, but they suck when they do. So I'm like,
I mean, they linger. They're a little bit trauma inducing almost. I mean, they do linger with you.
Definitely. So I've got my cats, my dog, my lizards.
Yeah, what more does a man need? Besides some snakes, but what more does a man need?
Literally. I think when I get my own, you know, my own house after graduating college, I want a dwarf caiman. And I want, I want a dwarf caiman, an Aki monitor, and I want a carpet python. Those are the three I want.
Pretty good.
I keep carpets right now, and I have worked quite a bit. I've worked a lot of different crocodilians, but I've done a fair bit of work with Pileosuchus. So
that's so cool. Yeah, no, it's carpet pythons have been a dream pet of mine for so long. Coastal carpet pythons. Specifically, coastal.
Is it coastal? Okay.
I think, is it coastal? It's coastal. Is it coastal or tropical?
There's so many. There's coastal. There's Irian Jaya. There's jungle.
I think it's jungle carpet python. That's the one.
You talk about the yellow and black striped ones.
Yep, that's the one.
The jungle. That's the jungle.
Jungle. And then of course there's the dream animal that I'm never ever gonna obtain, the Bolin's python, but that's never gonna happen.
Maybe when we're in our 50s or something like that. Maybe.
Yeah, right. Maybe when we actually have some money.
Yeah, right. Expensive.
But maybe when I want to spend a car on a snake, you know.
Hey, it's a quality snake. Yeah.
It seems like there's some breeders that are starting to show more success with them. So hopefully that opens new doors. But still, it's a very slow progress just because of that price point that they hold.
Yeah.
And the demand.
There is still a demand.
Yeah. It's a big snake.
They're big. I mean, they're in Somalia, so they're basically, you know, along with the scrub pythons, but they're just, you know, girthier, you know, being a Montana type of python, which is really cool. It's kind of an odd python. So you're quite the python fanatic.
I love python.
I like them as well. I've definitely gravitated now more to colubrids. Like just this past September, Nate and I went to a colubrid fest in Indy.
Uh-huh.
And I got my first quote unquote first snake, a little Chinese king rat.
Oh, that's neat. That's so cool.
I'm excited, man. They get big as well.
Yeah. I think Kribos are awesome.
Oh, dude.
So random, but Kribos are one of my favorite snakes.
So I do want to interject. Apparently, it seems that John Michaels from Black Pearl Reptiles, he's coming to the next Colubrid Fest, and he's going to have his assortment of critters, like, you know, blacktail Kribos, yellowtailed. So that's going to be very tough.
All the good stuff.
That's going to be very tough.
Hidden candy store.
It's going to be very tough.
That's so cool. That's really neat.
Yeah, because they're very similar to lizards, those kind of snakes, with just their kind of higher field of intelligence sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know. This is kind of stemming off in a different direction, but like, that's what I love so much about racers. Here from Ohio, like the blue racers, like, you know, they're just so inquisitive. So like they just look intelligent.
I think a lot of those visually oriented types of snakes, because, you know, we're visually oriented species ourselves. So I will say, though, racers, they're definitely a bite first, ask question later type of snake.
They are.
But once they calm down, they do seem to be a bit more interactive with you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It just takes them a minute. You know, they got to acclimatize a little bit.
They got to realize we're not going to kill or eat them. So, you know, it's understandable. Yeah.
And I think blue racers are, I mean, I love black racers, you know, they're great. You know, there's nothing better than like a jet black snake, but the blue racers are beautiful. From that slate gray to that electric blue, they're super variable too. So neat. I've been seeing more of them over the last year or so, which is great. So I'm hopefully going to find some more next summer.
Yeah. And, you know, we get them as well. They're quite variable and I love them. They're probably arguably one of my favorite racer subspecies we have in the States.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah. Especially when they're young, they still have like that bit of
pattern. Yeah, that pattern. Oh, I wish they would keep it. I wish.
Me too.
Ohio really knocked it out of the park and making that the state reptile.
Oh, definitely. Oh, did they? Oh. Just wish I saw it more.
Yeah.
Very neat. Very, very cool species.
I saw that top down shot that you had of a black racer, I think it was.
It was either a black or the blue from Sandusky I found.
Okay. That was a good looking shot too. That was a good looking snake.
Yeah. Is it the one that's pinned to my profile? That one was a juvenile blue racer that I found. My buddy Nate found, flipped a rock in October. Found it early October. That was a great day. We found October blue racer, melanistic garter, and the tiger all in one day. It's great.
That's a solid outing, dude.
It sure was. That was great. It was just on a whim, you know. Took a trip, woke up at 4:10 in the morning, drove 2.5 hours, you know. It was great.
On a whim, waking up at 4. Sure.
Yeah. There's a nice blue racer. That one was from Northwestern Ohio.
That is nice. I do like it when they have kind of a darker mask to them.
And it was just some really nice controlled burn habitat as well. You can see the sort of partially burnt log underneath. It was sort of like sand hilly habitat. We were actually looking for hogs when I found that, but you know, definitely a nice consolation prize.
We know, I guess, obviously you guys don't have bull snakes, but over here, that's kind of the trifecta of our sand prairies and savannas. You know, you get blue racer, bull snakes, and hog noses. That's kind of our sand prairie trifecta. If you find one, you're probably going to find the other. And I would say in the case of racers, because they are so ophiophagous, you know, eating other snakes, I would say, you know, a little hoggy would be a great meal for a racer. But obviously, you want to catch the hoggy before.
Definitely. And I feel like in Ohio, you tend to see, you can find, I want to say ribbons. We get ribbons, blue racers, hogs, box turtles, and then I guess that's really the big four.
Sure.
Blue racers, hogs, ribbon snakes, boxed turtles, and I think obviously garter snakes, but they're pretty much all over
Ohio. Is it Western or Eastern ribbons?
Easterns.
Eastern.
I love the Easterns. I have a nice location that I consistently find them in. Every time I find at least a few of them,
okay,
which is nice to have. But they're beautiful, bright orange or bright yellow stripes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the further south you go, the more common ribbons are. But I love me a good ribbon, and you know, we're pretty fortunate here that we have the both subspecies, the Easterns and the Westerns. And I love the Westerns, just because, especially in southern Illinois. I mean, Nate can attest, we found one. I mean, just that orange dorsal stripe. I mean, just such a contrasty looking snake.
I mean, it's
a nice change up from seeing a typical garter snake.
Definitely. And that's what's nice about Samnophis. It's just they're so variable, and there's so many different species. I mean, we have what here in Ohio, we have butlers.
There's Eastern, nice top down. Prairie. What's the one that's up in the like that one county in Youngstown?
Shoreheads?
Might be.
Yeah, shortheads. We actually went out there last summer. It was like the tail end of summer, and it was like scalding hot that day. We were out looking for milk snakes and shorthead garters. Of course, shortheads were the big goal. We ended up finding a couple milk snakes, but we struck out on shortheads. So we're hopefully going to head back out maybe, you know, this upcoming season, hopefully for another shot at them. But they're really, really nice looking.
So yeah, it's quite a few garters then. You said shortheads, butlers, Easterns, and the plains. Yep. That's a good assortment.
Yeah, they're nice. Yeah. Of course, the plain. I'm biased, but like, plains are just. I mean, they're amazing. I think they're my favorite, honestly.
They're up there.
They're more common.
In some areas, they're relatively common here in Central Illinois, but I love them. Like the dorsal stripe, kind of the same thing with the ribbons. Just that vibrant orange dorsal stripe that they have.
Yeah, so nice.
They're pretty nice. This is a pretty racer too. Like we were talking about, it would be nice if they retain some of that patterning. I mean, this is a really vibrant one too. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, and you can see there's a tiny bit of flecking, like little specks on the belly still.
Sure.
It's just sort of coming out of its sort of young colors.
Yeah.
That's sweet. But it's definitely a nice thing. I mean, surprised it sat like that. But it's kind of chilling there.
Yeah. You guys get obviously you touched on Eastern Milks, but I mean, what other Lampros do you guys get? Do you guys get like actual King Snakes?
We get Black Kings towards I want to say southwestern Ohio.
I was gonna say the ranch has kind of like the Scioto River basin, basically.
Right. And that's one that I would die to see a Black King. That'd be amazing. But no, it's really just honestly the two. We have Black Kings and then we have Milks. And
sure.
I'm fortunate enough where, the area I live in has pretty good number of Milks. Some are better than others.
I can attest, yeah. Some Milk Snakes are built different compared to others.
Yep. Definitely wish we had Easterns here. That's hopefully another one I want to find. Sure. This year, that'd be another good one. But I know we're supposed to be heading out to New Jersey for Coastal Plains. Hopefully, that'll be a big goal.
Yeah, that's a good target. They're great looking phenotypes.
Definitely, very nice snakes.
Yeah, so I have some sites set up where I've seen plenty of milk snakes galore, but I would say. Not a white whale, but one I would love to see more. We have Prairie Kings, Caligaster out by me.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see
the more. That's amazing.
And then further south, we get into what they would say, either Black Kings and then somewhere along the lines, intergrades of Black Kings and Speckle Kings.
But yeah.
So, yeah, I love the other Lampros,
Can't be a good king snake, that's for sure.
No, you can't, man. I mean, I love a good flip session that ends in finding kinks and milks.
like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
It really is, because I mean, that's really the only best way to target them. It's so rare that you just find them out on the crawl. So rare.
Yeah. But response to the live chat. Joy, you know just as well as I do that Paleosuchus is legal in Ohio. Melanosuchus is not. Also, good luck. You know this. You probably even better than I do. Good luck seeing a black caiman in a captive collection here in the States. So
they're too far and few between.
You can probably count those on one hand. So, I'm not talking about in collections. I'm talking about individuals. So
seriously, yeah. I mean, there's one in the Phoenix Herpetological Society that's really old, isn't there? It's it's an old captive.
And I don't know. I think there's one Miami, Miami Zoo as well. But I had to double check.
Well, I mean, they have almost all the species of crocodilians at that one institution that you're talking about.
Gatorland? No. Oh, they do have one in Gatorland. Not Gatorland.
Is it Augustine?
St. Augustine. St. Augustine Alligator Park, yeah.
Yeah, they have quite I would love to go down there.
I've been there. It's pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
I'd love to check it out.
Yeah, I went there for CrocFest 2022, I want to say. So. No, it's 2023 is when I went to CrocFest.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Solid.
Now, Summer CrocFest 2025, June 7th. down in Angleton, Texas at Crocodile Encounter. I'm definitely going to be there, so.
Yeah. Anybody else interested? Come on down.
Yeah. So, back to the Ohio herps. Back to the guests we have on.
Well, I mean, I'm curious, man. I mean, I haven't looked at all of your other photos. So, I mean, what else kind of stands out that you wouldn't mind, I guess, touching on? I don't know. I mean, have you taken any photos of, you said you've been to the Outer Banks in North Carolina. How was that experience?
That trip was, it was kind of a hit or miss. I didn't see much numbers wise, but species wise, it was quality over quantity for sure. There's a specific photo of a northern cottonmouth. I think it it should be in there.
Is it like an orange juvenilis?
Yeah.
Okay.
You touch on a nice topic. I mean, when it comes to herping, it's all trial and error, especially when you go to, you know, scouting and just researching new areas. I mean, you don't know what you don't know until you're there.
That was a special snake.
Whoa. That's pretty.
Single best cotton I've probably ever seen in my life. It's crazy because we were going down there for a tuna fishing trip, actually. But of course, they took the boat out, and I took my hiking gear, and I went and looked for snakes. And I'm glad I did, because it turned up some awesome stuff. This was at around dusk, and a cold front came through. So it was 50s and 60s pretty much the whole entire trip while we were there. But I was hiking along a pond at around dusk, and with the last remaining light, I saw these brightly colored bands showing through on the bank of a pond, and looked down. I'm like, what the heck is that? Sure enough, big old northern cottonmouth. And that's my first northern cottonmouth, actually. I've seen the Florida ones, but have not seen a northern. So this was a really, really nice treat.
So was this a good size, like you were saying?
Yeah, this was probably a solid, it was maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet long. But it was girth.
Young adult already. For it to have that pattern, that's pretty. That's not right. Uncommon.
No, yeah, and it was definitely if a size where it like any other subspecies or whatever would probably lose that kind of coloration. But for some reason, the ones in the Outer Banks tend to get those beautiful tiger stripes a lot better. Yeah, there we go.
Oh wow!
Such a nice snake.
Wow.
So hope I'm really hoping to be able to see some of these again soon.
It's such a mean animal. It's such a contrast out by me, you know. Well, I mean, not really out by me. In southern Illinois, we just have, I guess, quote unquote, what you would call it, the northern or the western variety, and they're all dark. Mm-hmm. They're all black. There's some patterning, some lighter colored ones, but they're all relatively black, just because, you know, we still have pretty decent winter in southern Illinois. So we don't really get too many that are patterned like this. So it's a nice change up.
It is. The northerns around like North Carolina tend to have just a way richer like yellow color that goes through. Obviously the Florida cottonmouths are more of that dark sort of reddish kind of almost, I guess, mahogany color. Not mahogany.
They get huge. Swamp water. Florida cottons get big.
But no, they're super nice. Definitely a nice snake.
Well, I'm curious, you guys get lucky with any tuna? What's the main species? Isn't it yellowfin and blue?
Usually blackfin.
Really? Wait,
no.
Oh.
Heck no, no. Never mind. That's like deadliest catch level stuff. Yeah, no, yellowfin. Yellowfin tuna.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But when we're in South Florida, we target mahi-mahi as well.
Oh.
Delicious.
oh,
yeah. And that's, of course, when we're in the Florida Keys, we go to these things called the humps, like the Key Largo and Marathon humps. Yeah. And I think it's like 25, 30 miles out. It dips down to maybe like 1,000 feet of water, and then it'll rise up on this little ledge. And on that ledge it's just so full of life. I mean, there's nothing around you, and all of a sudden you hit the humps, and there's, you know, mahi-mahi jumping out of the water. There's dolphins, there's bait fish. It's crazy. So we were trolling around there, we were catching yellowfin tuna and mahi-mahi. And I had a tuna or a skipjack tuna on the line. And you know how, like, the pelagic fish, they kind of really go spastic when caught. So I kind of felt it get, like, really twitchy and sort of spastic on the end of my line. And the line went slack. And all of a sudden, it went freaking 400-pound, like, bull shark.
Oof.
Nailed the tuna, inhaled it, which took me on to, like, an hour-long fight with this huge fish. And I had to kind of – me and my dad were on the boat, and we had to swap the rods a couple times back and forth. And we cranked this drag so tight. I'm shocked it didn't break. But – we had to put like our thumbs on the line to keep it from like peeling off, and eventually we just gave up. We had to snip it, but it was a crazy fight.
That was a fight. Wow.
That does remind me of River Monsters, that one episode where bull shark drag the whole boat like several miles upriver. So.
Oh yeah. It was a pretty crazy fight.
They're tenacious fish. Yeah, man. You definitely had your Jeremy Wade moment for sure.
Definitely.
It's hilarious.
Now all I need is a film crew.
Yep. That's step two. For sure. Yeah, and hopefully next season, I'll be hopefully upgrading my filming a little bit, and I'm getting more into YouTube, so I kind of want to take it a little more seriously and get better with it. So hopefully I'll be taking that into a good direction next season.
And you know, we can touch on that, because you know, we are starting to get to the end. I mean, we had a great combo with you, but I would say yeah, man, we'll definitely shout out you and have in the show notes. But I was curious, turtles, what about any turtles? Like, you guys get cooters, or you touched on box turtles, but
yeah, box turtles have always been in my range, but I've never really been able to see them up until this year. Actually, was my first ever Ohio box turtle, which was pretty cool.
What are the Easterns or three-toed?
Yeah. That's a Florida soft shell that I found this past trip.
Is it? It looks like a young one.
It is. It's a very, very young one. And,
gorgeous.
Florida this past trip was totally, like, basically bone dry. Huge drought went through, so this turtle was in rough shape, dried out, crossing the road. So I gave it some water and sort of put it off in a different direction, the way it was going. But yeah, no, but we have sort of in Northern Ohio, we get the Blanding's turtles, and that's one I really want to see. And then spotted turtles towards, you know, Western Ohio is where I, you know, really would like to see some.
Are they full abundance too? Because here, even historically, they were never in like huge abundance, but I don't know if it's the same case out by you.
We've made a couple attempts trying to find them, and we've never been able to see them. We have areas supposedly where they're supposed to be, but we've never been able to actually come across any. So maybe one day. But I know I was trying to find some in North Carolina. Still no dice, but
okay.
I know there's a couple pockets in Eastern Ohio, a couple pockets in Western Ohio or Northwestern, and really hoping to turn up one someday.
They're a neat little turtle.
They really are beautiful, but they've had such a bad problem with collecting that they, you know, gained such a terrible status in Ohio now. So it's another like one of those sort of touchy subject kind of things, like similar with the Massasaugas, you know.
Same here.
Yeah, definitely fun. Hopefully they make a nice comeback.
Yeah. Well, shoot, man, this has been a great conversation. I don't know if you had any other pointers to touch on, Nate, before we start to wrap up.
I thought of one question. So you know how the very beginning we did that little where you want to go herping at? I think we should do one question. It could be either somewhere in the States or somewhere anywhere in the world. What's one place you want to go herping the most?
Dream herping would be probably like the Malaysian cloud forest. Like
solid choice.
That's where I want to go. I've always wanted to go to Malaysia. That's
I mean, Brian had it on his top 10 list we did the other week. So
there you go. Man, I mean, going to Asia would just be amazing. And honestly, just getting out of the state or getting out of the country and just going abroad a little bit, just exploring would just be
broaden your horizon a little bit. I mean, Southeast Asia, solid pickings, man. And then Malaysia, just cherry on the top. I mean, also false gargoyles, if you know about them, just unreal looking crocodilian.
I've seen pictures; they're so amazing.
Oh, dude, solid choice.
Yeah, lots of biodiversity.
Okay. Well, if that's the last question, Nate, just shout out to the folks where they can find you at. You know, your YouTubes and your Insta.
Yeah. Ohio Herps on YouTube and Instagram. I try and keep up on uploads. It's a little slow during the winter, but hopefully I'll be getting some content out pretty soon. And next summer it'll be pretty good. But Should have some nice content on the Instagram account coming out with some pictures. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, this is a blast. I'm glad
thanks for having me, guys. This was great. Honestly.
Yeah, well, definitely keep in touch. We'll have you back on, dude. And like, I'll probably keep in touch with you, see if I ever come out your way, you know?
Hey, absolutely. Yeah. That sounds great. If you do, hit me up.
Yeah, Dev. And if, depending on if I'm still in Ohio, last time summer comes around, reach out to you.
Yeah, please do. Absolutely. It'd be great. Yeah.
All right. So well,
it's been great, guys.
I would say hang back with us and then we'll just close out the show. So thanks everyone for tuning in and thanks to the live chat. I've been terrible with the live chats. I'm glad Nate is the one on the side checking it out. But
yeah, trying to.
But yeah, catch us for some more reptile ramblings and we'll see you on the next one.
All right. Bye.
Ciao.
Okay, let's see.
Solid, man. Solid.